Thank you, Sister Bonnie. Beautiful job. Something happened up here a few minutes ago, and I have no idea what it was. We hear noises around here. You never know. But Brother Stephen is just sitting down, so he was probably the reason that did that up there. Open your Bibles today, please, to the book of Mark, chapter number 14. The book of Mark, chapter 14. It's interesting when you read this portion of God's Word. I love the story of the alabaster box. I love the story of the lady who anoints the body of our Lord. And we're going to look at that again this morning. I want to preach on this subject today. Jesus calls us to remember. Jesus calls us to remember. You know, it's interesting when you dig into the Word of God and you look into the different portions of Scripture, the different examples that the Lord Jesus Christ gives us of things that really are worth remembering. We have this exactly illustrated perfectly for us in the book of Mark, chapter number 14. Bonnie sang that song and really sets up the story because it kind of gives you an idea as to what is transpiring in this portion of the Bible. In the book of Mark, chapter number 14, if you found your place in honor and reverence to the reading of God's holy word, please stand. Mark chapter 14, we'll start our reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, after 2 days was the feast of the Passover and an unleavened bread, and the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. And they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and had been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She came aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Look at verse 9. Jesus says, verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. Did you see that? Jesus says, literally, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the whole world, you need to tell people about this story. You need to tell people about this woman that came and anointed my body for burial. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We pray, Lord Jesus, your Holy Spirit will be our teacher and our guide today. And God, we'll praise you for what you're going to do in our midst. For it's in Christ Jesus' name I pray. And amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Jesus calls us to remember. He's calling on you and I today to remember a story in the Bible. To remember a lady who came and anointed the body of our Lord. And here's what you have to understand. She does this before he goes to the cross. May I also remind you that Jesus Christ was born to die. Jesus Christ was born of a virgin and yet went on to live a sinless and perfect and righteous life. At the end of his earthly life, he died on the cross of Calvary, literally died. They took his body down. They buried his body. 3 days later, we know the Bible indicates, and absolutely we know if you've trusted Christ your Savior by experience, that Jesus Christ rose again. And because he rose again and lives right now, he can offer salvation. If anyone repents and place their faith and trust in Christ, he forgives, he saves, he changes their lives. Jesus Christ uses the word memorial here. We celebrate Memorial Day, of course, tomorrow, and many family and friends will gather, and perhaps over hot dogs and hamburgers and ribs and dip. Man, I'm getting hungry. I got to slow down. Oh, I got to slow down on the food. That bubble gum didn't suffice me, amen? But we're going to celebrate it. We're going to talk about it, and hopefully, sincerely, we understand, and when we pass on to our children the significance of the soldier, the significance of those that have given their life over the centuries and wars, and really sincerely with the understanding of keeping America free. Aren't you thankful and grateful today that you live in a free nation? I sincerely mean that. That's a sincere statement. What a blessing, what a joy to live in the United States of America. We celebrate Memorial Day. We thank God for the men and the women that have given of their lives, the ultimate sacrifice, giving their life to keep the freedoms that you and I have, to keep the ideas and to keep the understandings that you and I have the joy and the freedom to even assemble as a congregation to worship our Lord, the freedom of religion, knowing that we are free from the tyranny of a government that would try to stop it. Thank God for the soldier. Thank God for the men and women. And we celebrate their memory this weekend. And I encourage you to take a moment. And maybe when you pray for your food tomorrow, just take a moment and thank the Lord Jesus above for giving us the land in which we live and giving us the freedoms to which we enjoy as Americans. What a joy and what a blessing. But Jesus Christ, in this passage in verse 9, uses the word memorial. He said that she hath done shall be spoken for a memorial of her. The word memorial just simply means serving to preserve remembrance. It means something such as a monument or holiday intended to celebrate or honor the memory of a person or an event. Jesus Christ in this portion of Scripture is literally calling on us to remember her, calling on us to remember what she did for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, what an interesting concept here. Here's the concept. The interesting concept is that Jesus Christ saw what she did. He observed what she did. And he was thankful for what she did. And may I remind you, if you know Jesus as your Savior, what you do for the Lord Jesus, hear me, friend. Jesus sees it. He sees it. He's the one that's observing. He's the one that, if you will, is keeping the score. You know, I find it fascinating in our culture and often in our churches, we can allow the devil to infiltrate our minds and infiltrate our hearts and get us to the point in our life that, well, you know, preacher, what we do really is insignificant. Listen, my heart this morning. It's not insignificant if you're doing it for Jesus. And may I remind you, he's the one, if we're doing it for him, he's the one that is to receive all the honor and all the glory. So kind of keep that in mind as we serve the Lord, as we work for the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want us to examine this morning this work that this lady did. What did she do? I mean, after all, Jesus Christ speaks highly of it. Jesus goes as far as saying, as long and as far as this gospel is preached, when this gospel is preached throughout the whole world, tell people about what this lady did. Boy, that's significant, isn't it? I mean, what a tremendous story. What a tremendous illustration. And Jesus Christ calls us to remember. First of all, notice this work. First of all, it is seen as an insignificant work. Just insignificant. I mean, she anoints the body of the Lord, but to some, it was insignificant. Now you have to come out of and you have to understand the context of this passage. The context is the Jews, the religious leaders of Jesus' day, they hate. And I know you should never say that word they say, but I'm telling you, that is absolutely the consensus of many of the religious leaders in Jesus' day. They hate Jesus. They want him dead. As a matter of fact, in the first two verses, they were trying to figure out a way how they could get Jesus, arrest him, and get him put to death. But some said, wait a minute, we can't do it. We can't do it during the Passover because there's going to be an uproar of the people if we try to do it now. So they go in cahoots and they try to find him and put him to death. So it's in the context of that we find this portion of Scripture. But her work seemingly was an insignificant one. Verse 4 tells us, and there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? You see, this woman is just broken the alabaster, this vial of precious ointment, very costly. She breaks it and she pours it on the head of our Lord, anointing his body for burial. And there were some in that crowd, some sitting in that house that day that said, man, this was a waste. What you just did was a waste. It seemingly is very insignificant. Does the devil ever whisper that statement in your ear? What you do for Jesus seems so insignificant. What you do in the church is so insignificant. But may I remind you of something, ladies and gentlemen? If you're doing it for Jesus, there's nothing insignificant. If you're doing it for the Lord, you see, where we get messed up is when we start doing it for a pat on the back, or we start doing it to be looked at. That's where we get in trouble. And that's where we get messed up in our minds, and that's where we get messed up in our hearts, and that's where we get messed up in the service of our Lord, when we get so caught up in wanting the praise of men rather than the praise of the Lord Jesus. So Jesus Christ has already observed it, but verse number 4, it tells us there were some that had indignation. They were mad. They saw this woman come break that vial, that flask of ointment. She pours it on the Lord, and immediately there was some in that crowd that said, oh my goodness, why would she do that? Why would she, and notice right out of the scripture, look at it, verse 4, why was this waste of the ointment made? You wasted it. You've wasted. Is that not our culture? Our culture says, oh, if you give your life to Jesus, you've wasted your life. Oh, if you serve Jesus, you've wasted your life. I mean, after all, the goal of every man, woman, boy, or girl ought to be able to, their goal ought to be to make all you can all you get, and spend that money when you get a senior adult taking care of your hospital bills. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, that ought not be the goal of life. I'm not against making money. You've heard my heart before. There's nothing wrong with making money. Amen? There's nothing wrong with that. As a matter of fact, you ought to work. Men, you need to work. Don't get me started on that sermon. But we live in a culture that if we're not careful, we can be very lazy. And our culture can be very, very lazy. I mean, after all, many think, well, if the government's going to bail me out, why should I do anything about it? Listen, God's created you to work. And may I remind you that Adam was called of God to work, had nothing to do with the fall. So he said, well, the fall is what caused man to have to work. No, friend. God had already given Adam a job to do before the fall. Did he not? Didn't God say, before he said, be fruitful, multiply, go, what did God do? God put him in a garden. He said, subdue it. He said, keep it, tend it. He was the farmer to take care of it. And then the fall happened, of course. Now he has to do it by the sweat of his brow, But the point being is Jesus Christ, the sum in that crowd, it seemed very insignificant. And if you're not careful, there'll be some that I'm telling you, I've seen it. There'll be some that say, well, what I do really doesn't matter. It does if you're doing it for Jesus Christ. If you're doing it for yourself, it doesn't matter. But if you're doing it for Jesus, my brother, my sister, it does matter. And I promise you, you'll be rewarded for it if you do it for Jesus at the judgment seat of Christ. Keep that in mind. That was a good place to say amen right there. Because indeed, that is very significant. And may I remind you that this attitude, this mentality of some, this Judas mentality, Judas goes on and says, this was a waste because we could have taken this and given this money to the poor. There's another gospel writer that said, this Judas said, not because he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. The reason Judas said that was because Judas knew that if they could have taken that and sold it, he could have got his hand on the money. That's literally what he was wanting. But keep in mind, there were to some, it seemed as an insignificant work. Second of all, that to some, it was seen as an inadequate work. After all she's done was pour it on Jesus. You know, I find it fascinating to me that literally they had the audacity to say that doing something, pouring something on Jesus was wasteful. You know, when we come to the house of the Lord, Brother Stephen, we should come with an understanding that we're coming to pour our worship on the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. Amen? You've heard me say a lot of times, but that's why it's important. When Brother Stephen stands and asks us to join in singing, we ought to sing. I've never understood why people don't sing. Maybe because they've lost their joy, I don't know. Maybe because they don't know the words. You say, preacher, it's not that I don't want to sing. I just can't read that book. Get you some spectacles, amen? Get you some bifocals. I'm almost there, but I refuse. So when I don't know a song, I just start praying. Make it look like I'm praying or something, you know, because I don't know the words. No, I'm just being silly. But no, we ought to sing. We ought to literally, seriously. If you've been born again, if you know Christ is your Savior, you ought to say to yourself, when we stand to sing, honestly, sincerely, you ought to say to yourself, you know what? Wow, what an honor, what a joy, what an opportunity I have to stand and sing praises to my Lord and Savior. Wow, may I remind you of something? You may not understand this, but I promise you it's on the authority of the Bible. He hears everything. He sees all. You know, the God that you serve is so observant of his people. Literally, he's so observant. He's so engaged in the care of his people that the Bible declares for us that a little sparrow bird in the New Testament, if you search it up in the New Testament, a little sparrow can't even fall to the ground in death to what the Heavenly Father doesn't know it, doesn't see it. I heard one preacher say, literally, Jesus attends every funeral of a sparrow. And he goes on that same passage and says, basically, the premise was this. We're of much greater value than the sparrow. We're of much greater. Why? Because we've been created in the image of God. And therefore, the crowning work of creation was man. And because of that, you and I now have an opportunity to worship the Lord and Savior. And we praise his holy name. It's more than just singing. Amen. You say, preacher, we're just singing old hymn songs. Listen, it's more than singing. It's worship. Amen? It's worship. You say, I never really thought of that. Well, I hope you do today. I hope you leave this room today saying, you know what? Man, we went today to worship the Lord. Look what Jesus says. This seemingly inadequate work. The Bible tells us, Jesus says in verse number 6, let her alone. Thank the Lord for Jesus there. Leave her alone. I like that. I woke up some of you, scared some of you. That's all right. Leave her alone. And by the way, it'd do us all good to leave people alone. Amen? And may I remind you, we're not judge, jury, and executioner here. We're not here to observe, that person there, they're just not worshiping like they should. Let me help you in. Let me let you in on something when it comes to worship. Don't you worry about their worship. Worry about yours. Amen? Let us as a believer in Jesus Christ, be so overwhelmed, be so captivated, and so humbled by the fact that we can come into the very presence of the Lord with singing and offering our praises to God, worshiping Him in spirit and in truth, worshiping Him with our offerings, worshiping Him and with our presence. And when you get so captivated by that, you won't have time to worry about your brothers or sisters and what they're doing. Amen? What a tremendous statement. Look what Jesus says. It seems inadequate. Look what Jesus says. Why trouble ye her? Well, that'd be a good question to ask. Leave her alone, first of all. Why trouble ye her? Look what Jesus says. She hath wrought a good work on me. Those of you, I can see Jesus. Can you see it? Can you see the scene unfold? Can you see those that are there? All they're doing is many of them, are just thinking this in their mind. That ever happened to you in church? Well, I can't believe that person. I can't believe preacher recognized that person from the pulpit and didn't recognize me. Well, maybe because the Holy Spirit of God knew you'd get so filled with pride if I did, He don't want me to do it. And I'll be honest, I try to stay motivated, really sincerely stay motivated in the context of the spiritual gift that God's placed in me. And that's not arrogant. That's not prideful. Because if you know Christ is your Savior, you have, biblically, according to Romans 12, you have a motivational, a spiritual gift that God's placed in you if you know Christ your Savior as well. So I'm just saying in the context of my life, as I try to be an encourager, and many times in the pulpit, sometimes in the pulpit I'll be preaching, and God will just bring somebody across my heart. And I just want to speak encouragement into her life. Say, hey, I'm appreciative of this and person and that person and the different spiritual gifts that God has placed. And, man, it's a joy to me. It's a blessing to me. And Jesus said, right in this passage, Jesus says, she hath wrought a good work. Notice the last two words, verse number 6, on me. Maybe Jesus was saying it like this. Everybody look up here for a minute. Maybe Jesus was saying it like this. She didn't do it for you. She did it for me. She didn't sing that special for you. She sang it for me. She didn't teach that Sunday school class for the approval of men. She taught it and was faithful. Jesus could say, for me. What a concept. Amen. Does that not captivate our minds and our hearts this morning? What we do, we should do it for Jesus. Amen. Let me ask you a question and be honest with yourself and God. Are you saved today? Are you saved today? Are you born again? Now, if you've answered that question with a yes, how are you doing? Second question. What are you doing? Are you worshiping the Lord? You say, yeah, but Pastor, I'm just not as gifted as some. You're right. Maybe that's true. But the question is not how much. The question would be this. Even though you think you're not as gifted as some, may I ask you this second question? Do you understand how truly gifted you are? God's placed something in you if you're saved. He's put gifts inside of you. It fascinates me when we as God's people understand that we work for Him and we serve Him and we honor Him in nothing that we do in the name of Jesus on the authority of the Bible. Nothing that we do in the name of Jesus is insignificant for the Lord and His kingdom. Jesus says she's done what she could. She hath done what she could. Look at the text. Verse 8 says, verse 7, as we continue on, for ye have the poor with you always, and whatsoever ye will do, ye will may do them good, but me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. That's all she could do. She did all that she could do, but here's the thought. She did all that she could do, and Jesus appreciated it. Sweet friend, when you do what you can for the Lord Jesus, Jesus appreciates it. He does. He really does. You say, preacher, I'm just up there down at Emmanuel Baptist. Nobody really appreciates me. Well, I promise you we do. You may not think that. And I promise you we do, and we're grateful for that. We're grateful for you. You say, yeah, but preacher, my name... nobody ever says anything. Nobody ever knows. Nobody. Listen, I promise you we appreciate you. Jesus appreciates it. Here's a thought for you. Wayne Cordero made this statement in one of the books that he read. One of the books that he wrote, he made this statement. He said, the thing with the devil can make one voice sound like 1,000. He can make one voice sound like 1,000. Maybe the devil's whispering in your heart and in your ear today, oh, that they don't appreciate me. Oh, they don't see anything that I do. Listen, he does. He does. And if you do it for him, and if we honor him and we serve it and we do what we do for the Lord Jesus to receive honor and glory, it'll keep us from getting all messed up in our mind. So Jesus says she did what she could. She did. She did what she could. She did it when she could. She did all that she could do. Now, you have to understand, she wasn't By some estimation, she didn't have the testimony that others had that were at that room that day in that house. I mean, the Bible tells us she was in Simon the leper's house, a man who God had supernaturally healed of his leprosy. Now, friend, that's a testimony. Amen? I mean, to think that, to know that you were destined for death, you were dying a slow death. I mean, your limbs and fingers would, because of the leprosy, would just fall off. And facial features, because of leprosy, would just fall off. You were caused by the law to be quarantined. You had to live in isolation from the rest of the population. The dreadful deeds of leprosy. And that's why in the Bible times, you were very careful to, if you saw a spot on your hand or on your face, man, you got nervous. Because this could be leprosy. And if it's leprosy, then my life as I know it is over. I won't be able to be with my family. I won't be able to be with my friends. It will cause isolation and hinder me from growing up the way I wanted to grow up. And yet here's a man that God healed of his leprosy. He's sitting in that room. Here's a man that no doubt we have others in this room. We have the likes of even Lazarus there, and perhaps. And I mean, here's Lazarus who was raised from the dead. What a testimony. Amen? What a testimony. Hey, we're going to have somebody come and speak today. Literally of a guy that died and was dead for a few days, and Jesus healed him. Man, you could do a phenomenal conference with a guy like that. Amen? Let's put it in our day and time. I mean, you have some stories. I love Brother Andy Daugherty. He's one of my best friends in the world. He ain't much to look at, but I love him. Brother Andy Daugherty, God saved him, literally saved him. He was a drug addict. He did cocaine every day, just about. Marijuana. And God supernaturally said, did you say marijuana? Yeah, it's still a drug. But anyway, you ought not do it. Amen? Here's what's hilarious to me. This one cracks me up. I even have family members that do this to me. They'll say, marijuana never done anything to me. And they're twitching and they're losing. It never made me. What was I saying? You know? It burns your brain cells up. It really does. It messes you up. So don't do it. But anyway. How in the world did I get on marijuana? But anyway. I don't know. Started to say something, but I caught myself. Thank the Lord Jesus. But Brother Andy Daugherty, when he gives his testimony, it's captivating, isn't it? I mean, it's a remarkable testimony to hear. You know, and I've had people say this, preacher, I don't have a testimony like that. I mean, I was raised in a Christian home, maybe you would say, and I didn't get into the drugs and the alcohol. As a matter of fact, never touched the stuff, But God saved me early on in my life, maybe as a 7-year-old or 8-year-old. I mean, what kind of testimony are you going to have as a 7-year-old, you know? Stealing somebody's crayons in first grade? I mean, I don't know, right? Breaking the crayons, maybe, Peter, you know, breaking the crayons. Did that happen to you, Stephen, somebody broke your crayons? I don't know. Somebody told me that. Say in first grade, somebody broke all their crayons, and they were devastated by it. But I don't know, but many times if we're not careful, we'll allow the devil to whisper in our ear and say, well, your testimony is not as important as that as Brother Andy Daugherty's testimony, maybe. Well, may I remind you, I don't care when you got saved or what God saved you out of, or if maybe the Lord didn't save you out of a drug addict habit or what have you, may I remind you on the authority of God's holy word, anybody that is born again has a testimony that God did something miraculous in your life. He saved you. He forgave you of all your sins. And you're on your way to heaven someday when you die. May I also remind you from Brother Andy Daugherty's own lips. He said, Brother Tracy, he said, yeah, the Lord saved me from that horrible addictions in my life. He said, but, and I heard even others say this, often, that kind of lifestyle, God saves you, yes, but there's many scars in your life that you'll carry the rest of your life. So keep that in mind. The next time we want to play comparison, say, well, I don't have a testimony like that person. If you were to ask that person, they would say to you, perhaps, if you were to ask for the Andy,
Brother Andy, I don't have a testimony like you, but I promise you this because I know Brother Andy well. Brother Andy would say something like this. Thank God you don't. Thank God you don't have a testimony like this. What a joy. What an honor to know, to serve the Lord Jesus. So her work seemed insignificant. Her work seemed as it wasn't a big deal. But notice what Jesus says about it. Because really, ultimately, look up here for a moment. Ultimately, should we not be more concerned with what Jesus says about us and recognizes about His children as opposed to what the world thinks about His children? Right? Is that right? If that's right, say, yep, that's right, preacher. Thank you. All right. So dig in this portion with me. Look at verse number 8. She had done what she could. Look at verse 8. Now, I skipped this, but I want to back it up for a second. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Now, Jesus Christ here is bringing out something regarding this sacrifice that she does, this work that she does. And the third thing we see about this memorial that Jesus wants us to remember about this lady, the third thing we find is what she did, this work that she did, is an invaluable work. You say, what do you mean by that? It's priceless, what she did. Jesus just said it. If you're not careful, you'll miss it. Jesus said, hey, everybody in this room, she came before I died and done something for me. Let me say it like this. You ever hear people say, send the flowers before I die? You ever hear people say that? What's the principle? Don't wait till somebody's dead and gone to do something good for them. And we see this woman in this passage. She knows, here's what she knows about Jesus. She knows that Jesus is the Savior. She knows that Jesus is going to die on the cross. And she knows that she doesn't have the testimony of others. She doesn't have the skin like a baby now that Jesus has healed. She hasn't been resurrected from the dead after being dead for three or four days. But what she does have is something that means the world to her, something very special to her, something very precious to her. Maybe she's saving it for a special day. Maybe she's saving it for her marriage day, the day when she'll be married to a man, and she's going to save that special perfume for that day. But all of a sudden, a man by the name of Jesus shows up, the Savior, who's going to die on the cross. And maybe she looks around, and maybe she listens to some of the conversations at the table. She hears the testimony of Lazarus. She hears the testimony of Simon the leper. Oh, she sees her sisters, or she sees the others in the room. She sees all the stories, and hears all the stories. She sees all the testimonies. And maybe very quietly, she goes into her bedroom, and maybe in a dark corner, she goes over to a little box, and she pulls it out. She's not shouting it through a megaphone. Hey, look at me. Look what I'm getting ready to do. Hey, everybody, look up here. It's about me. She knows it's not about her. It's about Jesus. And she goes very quietly and very respectfully. She grabs that little flask of perfume. She goes back into that room, and she doesn't say a word. But she breaks that little flask, and she pours the ointment on the head of the Lord Jesus. And you can imagine it begins to flow down His hair and flow down His shoulders and down through the rest of His body. And she doesn't say a word. But can you imagine? Can you imagine just for a moment? Everybody look up for a moment. It was a very precious ointment. It was a very costly perfume. No doubt in my mind it smelled magnificent. It smelled so wonderful that, here's the principle, it smelled so wonderful that had you been sitting in that room, oh, this is a good thought, had you been sitting in that room that day, you would have been blessed by the smell. By the way, that's what our worship ought to do. Our worship ought to cause other people to be blessed by the smell. Miss Amy, Miss Bonnie, I was blessed this morning by your singing. Choir, I was blessed, if you will, by the smell. And she pours it on the Lord. And there were others in the room that said, what's this crazy woman doing? What is she doing? She is just wasted this ointment. I had, in the context of singing, I had somebody at First Baptist Church of Alexandria when I got saved when I was 16. So I was probably about 18 years old. And I had somebody, and I loved this individual. They were a friend to me, her and her husband. And I had somebody say to me, Tracy, why are you using your voice to sing Christian music? Their statement was, why are you wasting such talent? Ladies and gentlemen, that was 22 years ago. I promise you this. I didn't waste it. Anything you do for Jesus Christ is not a waste. You see, there, and they said, you could make money, or you could do this, or you could do that. Listen, this little lady, Jesus says she did what she could. She did what she could. It was priceless what she did. It was a priceless act. It was a priceless work. Don't underestimate, hear me, don't underestimate your value to the Lord and His kingdom. You're of priceless value. Jesus says, she came to anoint my body for burial. She came before I died. She didn't wait till I was dead and gone to do something for me. The principle, of course, if you know Jesus as your Savior, and just that, listen, as a human being, don't wait till people are dead and gone to tell them you love them. Amen? Don't wait till somebody's out of your life to say how much you appreciate them. Very simple principles. I mean, as children, we teach our kids to say please and thank you. Do we not? You know what? As adults, it do us good to do it as well. We're sitting at the dinner table. I took the kids out the other day. And the boys were ordering. And, of course, the waitress comes up. And I said, I think Toby said, I'll have this. And I said, please. You know, and Toby's like, please, you know. That little boy's going to be the death of me. And, of course, she gets to me. And I said, well, ma'am, I'll have this. And Toby goes, please. And, of course, I said, I was going to say that, Toby. You just beat me to it. But last of all, who said he's a sweetheart? Who in the world? Miss Shirley said he's a sweetheart. I will say it's never a dull moment around the Herald House, that's for sure. Last of all, the last thing about this, it was an unforgettable work. It was an unforgivable or unforgettable work. She did something. What a thought. Here's a thought. This woman did something that would outlast her. Should that not be our goal in life? For the Lord Jesus Christ to do something that will outlast us. I mean, that's a sermon in itself. We may develop something around that thought. Today's invitation is, if you're here without Jesus Christ, your Savior, sweet friend, I call upon you now to repent of your sin and place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and Jesus alone. Maybe you're here, you say, preacher, I know the Lord is my Savior, but don't have a church home. Hey, we'd love to have you. I sincerely mean that. Our doors are wide open. We'd love to have you at Emmanuel Missionary Baptist. Serve the Lord Jesus Christ with us. Let's honor the Lord. Let's make a difference for His kingdom.
You may be listening to the devil though, and the devil may be saying to you, what can you give to that church? Listen, it's not a matter of what you can give to this church. It's a matter of doing something for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it's about. You're invaluable. You have a priceless value to the Lord Jesus and His kingdom. You're of infinite worth. You see, what determines value, one of the principles of something that determines the value of something. I mean, you could have something that's beautiful and thinking it's the most valuable thing in the world, but really that doesn't determine value. What determines value? One of the things that determines value is, what is somebody willing enough to pay for it? I remind you that Jesus Christ was willing enough to die for you, to be buried, to rise again. He was willing enough to pay your sin debt. That's how much value you're of infinite worth. Lord Jesus Christ did something for you that you so desperately needed. So today, if you're here without Christ, your Savior, sweet friend, call upon God to forgive you. Ask God to save you. Believe the gospel. Jesus says, everywhere this gospel is preached, mention this lady. Tell people about this lady. This lady shouts, there's no insignificance in the Lord's kingdom. You're not insignificant. You're of infinite worth in the Lord Jesus Christ. Stand with me, please, for hymn invitation. Brother Stephen's going to come and lead us. We trust that the Lord has spoken to your heart. You need to respond, maybe in the matter of salvation. Hey, I'd love to talk to you more about it. Say, preacher, I just have questions about it. Hey, I'd love to talk to you more about that. I promise you I would. I'd be honored to take a Bible and point you to Christ. Maybe say, preacher, I know the Lord's my Savior. I know I need a church home. Hey, our doors are wide open. You know the Lord's your Savior? We'd love to have you. If you don't know the Lord as your Savior, we'd still love to have you keep coming. Amen? And hopefully, prayerfully, we'll be able to lead you to Jesus before it's too late. You come as we sing. What's the number, bud?
Hymn number 410.
Hymn number 410. You come as we sing. 410.